May I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Yes, this is New Year's Eve. It is the last Sunday in the year, and it is indeed a time when we look back over what has happened in our world, and there's some things I will talk to you this morning about that are strange, to tell you the truth. But this is a time in which we receive Christ into our world. And Christ is our hope. Christ is the light which enlightens this world. In this morning's gospel from Luke, an angel appears suddenly before the shepherds to announce the birth of Jesus. The shepherds leave everything and head to Bethlehem in response to what the angel tells them. Shepherds held an extremely important position in their culture. They were responsible for the wealth of their community. Leaving the sheep suddenly would be like a banker leaving the money vault open and going down the street because something exciting was happening. But they did leave. So what convinces them to do this? The angel who appears out of nowhere. The angel must have been extremely persuasive in his or her presence for the shepherds to believe what they were being told. Is this just a literary device to emphasize the importance of Jesus' birth? Are we supposed to believe this story that they're really such things as angels who suddenly appear from nowhere and later disappear back to heaven? First of all, let me say that I have never seen an angel. So truthfully, I might remain skeptical. But I do believe that we are supposed to believe this story. We are supposed to take this account as literal truth. The Bible is full of stories of people meeting angels, and they are one of the primary messengers of God. Daniel refers to the angel Gabriel as the man I have seen before in a vision, came to me in swift flight, who came to give wisdom and understanding and declare that he, Daniel, is greatly loved by God. Then there is the story of Elijah dramatically returning to God in a fiery chariot. We are conditioned within our scriptures of our faith to be predisposed to the extraordinary and the supernatural. Our God is a supernatural God. Angels are not human, and they come from somewhere else other than earth. Jesus tells us that he is not from this world, and we must return to the Father, and that there are many rooms in his Father's house. The great mystery of our faith is founded on a belief of things we do not fully understand, things that seem to operate outside of normal human perception. The miraculous healings, the rising of the dead, and of course the resurrection of Jesus all implies other places and states of being that we only partly understand. There have been several news items recently to cause me to think more deeply about angels and heaven. Recently, the U.S. government has acknowledged that over the years, they have spent millions of taxpayers' dollars on the investigation of extraterrestrial beings. In other words, UFOs. For years, the U.S. government has denied the existence of UFOs, arguing that all sightings were fictitious and false. This acknowledgement of something other than outright denial has been reported on mainstream news channels. There is another theory that UFOs are not coming from deep space, but are entering and re-entering from another dimension. These are ideas from science fiction and have been around for a long time. From Star Wars to E.T., we have been entertained with the idea that we are not alone, and this has been going on for decades. But what has not been around for a long time is the huge European scientific research project called CERN. CERN is located near Geneva, Switzerland, and is the largest and most comprehensive scientific project ever undertaken. But what exactly is CERN? CERN is a European organization for nuclear research. CERN is famous more recently for announcing the discovery of the God particle, also known as Higgs boson, the particle that holds life and matter together. But let's put CERN in perspective. The LHC, the Large Hadron Collider, which is at the center of CERN's activity, is the largest, most expensive machine ever built, costing 9 billion euros. It requires the largest computer system the world has ever known to process the information that the collider generates. So whatever we say about CERN, we cannot say that it is not important to the world and to science. So what are they doing? CERN scientists are sending atomic particles around the 17-mile circular underground tunnel at speeds exceeding light and crashing them together, generating huge amounts of heat and energy, 100,000 times the heat of the sun. Yes, so why are they doing this? CERN has been a bit vague with answers, like we are trying to understand our universe. This is scientific research. But recently, CERN's own scientists, in a rather low-key, roundabout way, has stated the purpose of this research. Sergio Bertolucci, Director of Research in Scientific Computing at CERN, has publicly declared that the super collider could open up otherworldly doors into another dimension. He said, in a very tiny lapse of time, in mere fractions of a second, we would be able to peer into this open door, either generating something out of it or sending something into it. CERN scientists are attempting to create a portal into another dimension. But why? To send and receive? But send and receive what? Again, the answers become more vague and evasive. There is worry in the scientific world, and indeed the religious world, about the appropriateness of what they are doing. The eminent and well-known British scientist Stephen Hawking has publicly stated in his new book that messing with the God particle and trying to breach the barriers between dimensions could wipe out our entire universe. But scientists and religious leaders are worried that this is just one too many bites of the forbidden apple. There are things we are not supposed to mess with, things that are way beyond our understanding and are dangerous and best left alone. Now, to top off all the speculation as to what CERN scientists are doing with the Large Hadron Collider, some observers have pointed out that the town where CERN is located is not exactly Geneva, but is closer to the French town of St. Genis Polia. The name Polia comes from the Latin Apoliacum, and it is believed that in Roman times a temple existed there in honor of Apollo. And the people who lived there believed that it was a gateway into the underworld. CERN is built on the same site. Religious readers have drawn a connection to a verse straight out of Revelations chapter 9, which makes a reference to the name of Apollyon. And Revelation states, "And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star had fallen from heaven to earth. And he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. And he opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from that shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft." And Revelation goes on to describe the agents of destruction that emerge into our world through this pit. And says in verse 11 that they have a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he is called Apollyon. If that is not enough strangeness, CERN has chosen as his mascot a Hindu goddess, but not just any Hindu goddess. Just outside the entrance of its main headquarters, CERN has erected a statue of the ancient Hindu goddess Shiva, thought to have preceded Apollyon. And Shiva is the goddess of destruction. Well, why am I telling you all this, for goodness sakes? It's Christmas. It's time when the life of Christ is celebrated. But let me say this. Sometimes, in order to understand the true brightness of a light, we need to acknowledge the darkness that exists around us so that we know our need for the light of Christ. It is important that we do not take for granted the shepherd's announcement of good news because we have heard it so many times. There is much to the light of Christ that we yet to know. Just as there is more to this darkness than we can imagine. We cannot ignore the truth that science has greatly benefited the human race. But science is also responsible for the mass destruction of both Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Our scriptures tell us repeatedly that this darkness is opposed to life and to God. But we are also told that this darkness will not overcome the light. The angel told the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy. For all people to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord." You need not worry about CERN. What the scientists are doing, God is ultimately in control. But we need to be aware of the darkness. We need discernment. We need guidance. And we need protection of the Holy Spirit. We receive this protection from Jesus Christ when we pray, when we give thanks, when we seek to be Christ-like in the way we live, when we love our neighbors and seek the common good of God's children. This is the work that Christ wants us to be doing upon his return. We are well protected from the powers of darkness in our love of God. We are undefeatable when we stand in the light of Christ. The darkness will not overcome us. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told him. Let us pray. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Amen.